TV producer, writer and actor Paul Yates is raring to get back into the editing suite tomorrow after weeks of enforced time away from it. He's one of the creatives behind the homegrown TV comedy Wellington Paranormal, and he acted in local drama Fresh Eggs that screened last year. So, actor, writer, producer, director and science fiction nerd, he tells me Paul Yates is with us now. Tēnā koe, Paul.
Kia ora, how are you?
I'm very well. I think you're very excited when we had some email contact end of last week. Too busy to talk, getting ready to get back into the studio.
Yeah, absolutely. We're rearing to go on Wellington Paranormal 3. So we start pre-production tomorrow, actually. So crew's all standing by. Everyone's been dying to get back behind and in front of a camera.
Well, dying's a good word for Wellington Paranormal, given your subject matter. But what can happen and what can't entirely happen under Level 2?
Well, we're hopeful that by the time we come to start filming in 5 weeks' time, we'll be at Level 1. But under Level 2, it is possible to film. We just have to go about things a lot more carefully. Our film crew becomes kind of a bubble, and each department becomes a little micro bubble within the bubble. There's bubbles within bubbles. It's all bubbles. It will be a little bit more tricky, but absolutely possible. So, and ScreenSafe New Zealand have put together a plan whereby crews can operate under Level 2 conditions. So it is possible. So everyone's dying to get back into things.
There has been, I think, some ability for post-production work, because I guess the problem is we've all been binging away over the last couple of months, and because filming hasn't been possible, you know, concerns that there's going to be, oh my goodness, what will we do if there's no new material to feed our hunger in the weeks and months to come? What's your understanding of the production chain?
Well, I think New Zealand and to a large extent Australia are in a unique position of being kind of at the forefront of getting back into things. So I know big productions like Avatar in Wellington here and Lord of the Rings up in Auckland are making, you know, very loud noises to start as soon as possible so that at least those shows can begin. But I think for ongoing material, I think New Zealand is uniquely placed to be kind of ahead of the game. So I think international companies are starting to look at territories where they can actually put a camera in front of some actors and make stuff. So I think there are sort of plans afoot for some of that kind of thing to be happening before Christmas, because who knows how long, you know, the bigger kind of territories like Britain and the US are going to be kind of locked down or you know, find it difficult to shoot. So it's exciting in a kind of tragic way that we all here did the right thing, and it's put our screen industry in a kind of a good place. We've kind of taken advantage of a bad situation, if you like.
Well, your first laugh track clip for us, Paul, is Fred Dagg, John Clark, of course, and the phone call of his many treasures, his many taonga. What do you love about the phone call?
The phone call is just, I'm English originally, so I came over to New Zealand when I was about sort of 5 or 6 years old. And I had two older brothers, and they bought a copy of Fred Dagg Greatest Hits. And it was our way of learning how to speak New Zealand. So we kind of memorized the record as kids. And, you know, the phone call particularly taught us that way New Zealanders speak, that dry, laconic humour that's such a hallmark of what makes us Kiwis laugh. And so I just remember it for that way that Fred Dagg could say, yeah, g'day. And I just love it. It's a great classic vintage piece of New Zealand comedy history. And as you say, a taonga, it's absolutely wonderful.
You did that well. Here is the real Fred Dagg with the phone call.
Yeah, g'day. Is Trev there, please? Oh, g'day, Mrs. Burke. Yeah, it's Bruce here. Bruce. Trev's friend, Bruce. Yeah. Is he there? Yeah, right. Yeah, g'day, Trev. Yeah, it's Bruce here, boy. Bruce. Yeah. How you going there, alright? Story. Yeah. Hey, what'd you get up to last night, boy? Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I saw you weren't in the boozer. Yeah, me? We'll talk about laugh, Trev. Yeah, well, me and the boys went down to the boozer. Yeah, you know the boys, don't you, Trev? Yeah, and you know the boozer, Trev. Yeah, we met up with his cousin of Derek's. down here for this big court case. But, yeah, rape, I think he said, Trev. Anyway, so we all got pissed, you see, then someone reckons there's this big party out Wainui there. You know out Wainui there, don't you, Trev? There. So we all get in the car, you see. Well, talk about a crush, boy. Yeah. So, well, we get over the hill there, out to Wainui, get out the shut. Look, in 5 minutes, boy, we tore the place apart. Not a stick standing. This cousin of Derek's, boy, Christ, can he break things? Oh, you know, doors, windows, bottles, glasses, jugger's arms, birds' backs, no trouble. Yeah. So after we'd done a bit of damage, you see, these juggers decided to throw us out. What? Yeah, probably queer, Trev. Yeah, so anyway, they all come towards us, you see. Well, this cousin of Derek's, boy, he knocks out about 8 of these queers, whips outside for a quick junder because he's so pissed. Yeah. He comes back inside and bowls his queer's mother. Yeah, well, talk about laugh, Trev. Yeah. Well, so they decide to call the cops, you see. Well, this cousin of Derek's boy is already in a power of shit with the cops, so we decide to piss off. We all get in the car. This cousin of Derek's boy, talk about drink piss. You know that dozen I keep in the back of the car for getting birds pissed? What? Well, that's got bugger all to do with it, Trev. Yeah. Anyway, this cousin of Derek's boy, he knocks the whole lot off in about 10 minutes. Yeah. So then he wants to drive me car, Trev. Yeah, we'll talk about big, Trev. And talk about strong. Yeah, so I let him drive my car. Yeah. Well, we're coming down the Wainui Hill, Trev. You know, about halfway down there's this big corner. Yeah, the one with the cliff, Trev. So over we go, Trev. We'll talk about blood, boy. Yeah. No, bucket of an hour we got home. Wouldn't have a clue. Trev, what I actually wanted to know is, can I borrow your car tonight? What do you mean, it's bugger? Oh, Trev, I forgot to tell you. I've sent this cousin of Derek's around to see you. Yeah, righto. We'll pick it up at 7:30. See you soon.
The phone call by Fred Dagg. It was a different time, wasn't it? It's quite interesting listening
it
to that.
It certainly was. Hearing that again, my word, there were some rather un-PC references in there, I have to say. But yes, quite of its time, that particular piece.
Of its time. Now, how did you make your break in television?
I was lucky enough to be working with a wonderful group of comedy heads at Massey University in Palmerston North. I was in a group with Jeremy Corbett, Nigel Corbett, John Bridges, David Downs, Dave Horn, Paul Horan. And right out of university, we got hired by a gentleman by the name of Dave Gibson, who was making a television program called Away Laughing in Wellington. So we were all lucky enough, or three of us anyway, to start working on an actual television show that was about actual comedy. Which was sort of unheard of in those days. Comedy was always a tough nut to crack. There were successes like Gliding On, but it was one of the first kind of sketch comedies to come out of the sort of late 80s, early 90s. So that was kind of my first foray into New Zealand television comedy.
Is comedy what you feel most at home working in?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, having come through sort of sketch comedy into stand-up comedy, I've certainly written a lot of comedy, so I guess it's the genre I'm most comfortable with. But as you work more and more in television and storytelling, I certainly enjoy working in drama and other genres. In New Zealand, you have to kind of be a jack or Jane of all trades and say yes to everything. So I've been lucky enough to work in all genres. But, yeah, comedy is definitely what I love doing.
Leads us to your next track. This is Harry Enfield and Friends, the Self-Righteous Brothers and Neil Armstrong. I mentioned before that your British heritage, but, I mean, Harry Enfield, he's really intriguing.
He was very much, again, of his time in the 90s, but a brilliant sort of character comedian, sort of part of my formative years when I was working in kind of television sketch comedy. And Harry Enfield kind of captured the zeitgeist of British characters in the 90s. So this particular character was kind of the outrageous, self-righteous Cockney bloke at a pub who kind of name calls everybody, but it's a clever conceit. This is a particular sketch that I'm kind of fond of because it's cleverly written and it's a very archetypal of his style of humour.
Oh, I admire Armstrong, yes. I admire any man who can go to the moon and bake. But he'd be welcome round our place for his tea any time he liked.
As long as he behaved himself, eh, Frank?
Oh, he'd have to behave himself, yes. We don't tolerate bad behaviour in our house from anyone, not even Armstrong.
Quite right, Frank.
I mean, if we've just sat down at the table, the wife's just brought the food in and nicely presented it is too.
Oh, I can picture it.
When suddenly there's this strange sucking noise. It's Armstrong. He's only brought his own food along in a liquid form, in a belt pouch, and started sucking it noisily through a straw. I should say, oi, Armstrong, no! You're not on your lunar module now. Pick up your knife and fork and eat your Findus chicken Italiens in a terrestrial fashion.
You'll be well in order there, Frank. Your wife cooked them chicken Italiens with her own fair hand.
Quiet, George. I'm finished. If then, right, he starts regaling us with a story of the final splashdown to Earth, all right, fair enough, it's an interesting story. But suddenly, there's this strange smell.
Oh, no.
Urine.
What a prize tosser.
He's openly urinating into his suit at our dining table. I should say, oi, Armstrong. No! That's a nice suit, but not a space suit. Don't contain a sophisticated system of tubing for the disposal of bodily waste. If you wish to go to the toilet, put up your hand and ask for permission. And permission will be granted. We are fair people.
You're more than fair, Frank. The guy's made a giant step for mankind. You think you'd be able to manage a couple of little steps up to the toilet on a measured landing? Frank, you want to take him to one side, cop him, give him a slap, and say, listen, son, you're supposed to be an ambassador for all humankind on its triumphant march to the furthest stars. Now act like one!
I'll tell you, if that bastard Armstrong ever shows his face round my neck of the woods, it'll be the last time he boldly goes anywhere.
Lowlife.
Harry Enfield and friends. Now, you mentioned Wellington Paranormal, so you've got a lot of work involved there. But what other projects have you got coming up, Paul? I mentioned you were back acting in Fresh Eggs last year. Does it give you a taste to do some more of that?
It was certainly fun, but I think behind the camera is where my skills lie. Wellington Paranormal is going to be taking up most of my time, certainly for the next kind of 4 to 6 months. And in lockdown, I was lucky enough to be making some commercials for the New Zealand Police using the Wellington Paranormal cops. So that was a lot of fun to kind of start working back again with Karen O'Leary and Mike Minogue, who are geniuses and lovely to work with.
Well, we had Mike Minogue, if you were sitting here, sitting in the very same seat just a few weeks ago talking about Wellington Paranormal. He was a sweetie.
Indeed. He's a lovely chap and very funny and very dry. It's marvellous working with them because you can sometimes not tell whether they're being themselves or being the cop characters they play so beautifully. They're clever.
I mentioned before that you are a lover of science fiction. I think you phrase it as a science fiction film nerd. That must help when you're working on something like Wellington Paranormal.
Yeah, it sort of helps with the references. I don't know if I, you know, I'd class myself as a full-on card-carrying nerd. But the secret's out now, so yes, I do love science fiction films. So we try and put the odd reference in the show. It's kind of supernatural, paranormal with a little bit of science fiction to it as well. It's got a kind of a Kiwi Doctor Who feel, I think, that people seem to latch onto. So yeah, it helps to know your monsters and know your science fiction when you're writing a show like this.
Your last pick for us is Bill Bailey, and this time his musical instrument of choice is the siren, of course. What do you enjoy about this skit?
Oh, it's just Bill Bailey's a genius, a musical comedy genius. He's very like kind of a modern day Victor Borge, who could create comedy out of, you know, a keyboard.
I love Bill Borge. We are on the same piano.
Yeah,
he was a genius.
He was an absolute genius. We used to listen to his records as kids. So Bill Bailey is very much in that kind of frame, but he's a lot more kind of pop culture reference, and I just love this idea in this sketch of what sirens would sound like in other European countries. I think it's just hilarious, and he does it so perfectly.
It's a lovely one to finish on. Paul Yates, thank you so much. Good luck with the rest of the week, and we look forward to the next series of Wellington Paranormal.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Lovely talking to you.
You too. And here is Bill Bailey.
See, everything about European life suggests a much more laid-back lifestyle. Even things like sirens. You know, here are sirens very, very functional. That sort of says, come on, come on, out of the way, out of the way. More than my job's worth. Which to me denotes disappointment. Interesting, you never hear them go the other way, do you? You never do that. Here he comes up. Well, there he goes. Because that will be defying the laws of physics, wouldn't it? That will be an ambulance attending an emergency in another dimension. Here, very functional. European sirens, a lot more lyrical, aren't they? It's like, yes, there is an accident, but let's enjoy the ride. In fact, the French ones are like this. That's just the bit you hear as it goes past. If you listen to it all down the street, it's like this.
Attention. Bill Bailey, the last laugh track of our guest Paul Yates. His others were Harry Enfield and Friends, and Fred Dagg.